those of us that are parents are especially familiar with the question why. Our kids come to us, ask us something, and we'll say yes or no. Why? We explain it, but why? But why? That's not relegated to just children. And especially, I've seen it, say, in workplaces. A new employee. Why do we do this? It's company policy. Why? Why is it company policy? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not effective. It's not efficient. Well, that's the way we always do things. That's the way we've done it ever since I've worked here. But why? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? As Christians, this is a good question for us. Why? When our children ask us, Mommy, Daddy, why does this happen at church? Let's not give them an answer. Well, it's just, that's the way we do things. Company policy. We've always done it that way. Why? Why do we do it? A visitor maybe has never had any religious teaching. A visitor that may have had a lot of teaching, but maybe in a different religious background. And they see something being done that's quite different than they're used to. Why do you do this? That's just what we do here. That's not a good enough answer. In fact, that's a very bad answer. The company policy. Why do we do it? Christians that have maybe been in the church for a gazillion years. Somebody asks, why do you do this? Not exactly sure. We just do it. Why do we do that? I want to look at a couple of different, for a couple of weeks, look at a few major things that we in the church do that when people ask why, this principle is long established. In Exodus, Exodus 12, verses 26 and 27, it says, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Down the road, when the children ask, why do we do this Passover practice? You will be able to tell them. Company policy. We will be able to have an answer. When the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, and in Joshua 4, starting verse 5, it says, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? looking ahead into the future, knowing the children are going to ask about these memorial stones stacked up. Then you shall answer them and say, company policy. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial, form a memorial to the children of Israel forever. These are just a couple of examples of knowing why we do things, knowing what these things mean, to have an answer rather than company policy. And then our scripture reading that Rader read to us today comes from the Apostle Peter. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When people ask us why, when people ask us about X, Y, or Z of what we believe, to be able to give a defense, a biblical defense, a rational defense, and then this is a whole nother lesson, how to do it with meekness and fear. To deliver that, you know, not come, well, that's a stupid question. You know, you don't know that. That's a whole nother story there. I want us to look at the Lord's Supper today. We just finished the Lord's Supper, and I appreciate Brother Ken's remarks, the focusing our minds on what we were doing. Do you ever catch yourself going through the motions of anything? You're doing something. Church, home, work, whatever. You're doing something. Getting it done. But maybe your mind is far off. Doing something else. And all of a sudden, you've got a task done. And you don't even remember steps 3, 4, and 5. But they got done. Your mind was... Brother Ken helped us focus on what it was we were doing. I'd like for us to look, whether it's our children, a visitor, what is... Why do you do it? Because in another church I used to go to, they did it this way. Or when I remember when I was little, we went to X church and they did it that way. Why do we do what we do? Acts 20 and verse 7, a key pivotal verse that the men often use from the pulpit when they're directing our minds in the Lord's Supper. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. This verse implies the purpose that the Christians were coming together each Sunday was to break bread. That's not a meal. The breaking bread was not just sharing some fresh bread and butter, although that's pretty good. And if you have fresh bread and butter, invite me, I'll be there. But that's not the term breaking. When they came together to break, they were coming together on the first day of the week for the Lord's Supper. That was their purpose, to come together. Blood sacrifice At the time of the New Testament, to the Christians, they were well aware of blood sacrifice. We hear people talk about the blood of Christ, covers our sins, etc., etc. Blood sacrifice was no new thing to the first century church. In Genesis 3:1, we were talking in Tracy's Bible class today about marriage and Adam and Eve and so forth. The first blood sacrifice was in the garden to cover Adam and Eve's sin. God provided the sacrifice. God provided the animal skins, which had to be killed to provide the clothing to cover for their sin. From the garden, people were aware of sacrifice. The Passover, we have a lot of connection from the Passover to the Lord's Supper. In fact, it was during the Passover feast that Jesus established the Lord's Supper. We know that Jesus is now our sacrifice. Not bulls, not goats, not rams, but Jesus is our sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul wrote, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Paul is explaining this idea of don't just keep being the same old person. Purge out the old leaven out of you. Because Christ was our sacrifice. And he says, our Passover. In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer makes the bridge and explains an awful lot of the Jewish traditional practices to the now Christian age. The shadow and the foreshadowings to now what it means. And in Hebrews 9 and 10, the Hebrew writer is explaining about this Passover and the sacrificial system. And in Hebrews 10:4, it says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." They were required to do this to be obedient, but it was insufficient. They understood a sacrifice was required. They understood that they had to be obedient. But the blood of these bulls and goats could not do it. Back the previous chapter in chapter 9, starting verse 11, it says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." I want to pause right here for just a moment. In this passage, I find it so fascinating. Jesus was not only the high priest offering the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. goes on to say, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If you're used to blood of bulls and goats doing this, how much more will the blood of the Son of God do it? Mm-hmm. And then in verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission. What was sacrificed for us was the perfect blood of the Son of God. Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, just hours before he was arrested, they were partaking of the meal together. And during this meal, we refer to it as the Lord's Supper. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And in verse 19, and again, a lot of the men read these verses prior to us partaking of the Lord's Supper to focus our minds. It says, and he took bread, talking about Jesus, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's the focus. When we're taking the Lord's Supper, when we take that piece of cracker, like the unleavened bread that Jesus broke, we are remembering the sacrifice Jesus had, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Goes on to say, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. In just a few hours, just hours away, that blood would be shed for them. We often use the account given by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Paul was not in the upper room when Jesus instituted that, but that information had been given to him by the Lord. And it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. I'm not making this up. I'm only passing the information on from the Lord himself. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Couple of things here. We know through Scripture, not a single bone of Jesus' body was broken. It was prophesied that way. But yet, this is my body which is broken for you. Jesus was broken. Everything that he held near and dear, he was broken. He took on the sin of the world. He would be killed, brutally killed. He's not saying my bones are broken. I'm going to be broken for you. And when you do this, when you take this, do it in my memory. Make it count. I don't mind doing it. Make it count. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. The old covenant is gone. This is the new covenant that supersedes the old. In my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they've been doing it ever since. We are still doing it. Do it in remembrance of him. And when we do this, we're making a proclamation. We're proclaiming the Lord's death, that he died for us. By what we just did a few minutes ago, when Ken led our hearts and minds through the Lord's Supper, when we took that, we're proclaiming we believe that Jesus was our sacrifice. We believe that the Son of God was sacrificed for us to forgive us of our sins. We're making that proclamation by participating in that. And we're doing it through obedience. We're continuing to obey what was commanded us to do. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do it in my memory. Be focused. Don't do it because it's company policy. Don't do it because everybody else is. Focus on what it is we're doing. But let a man examine himself. That's a tough one. I've said it before. I've got 20/20 vision when it comes to others. Got good vision with other people, but the guy that's looking at me, that I'm looking at in the mirror, man, I overlook an awful lot. I justify an awful lot. But let a man, and that's not letting the women off the hook. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What I'm seeing Paul saying here is, don't just go through the motions. Don't just go through the rote repetition. We've done this a gazillion times. My mind's on something else. I'm thinking about this, that, or... You're not discerning the Lord's body. Going back to verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We do that through obedience. We make that statement weekly. The Passover, the Jews were required to keep it yearly. God didn't want a week to go by without us remembering the sacrifice he gave of his son. Jesus didn't want us to go more than a week that we come together as a body of believers to remember the sacrifice he gave us. So when people ask us, Mommy, Daddy, why do we eat the cracker? Why do we drink the juice? Or a visitor, we can tell them, we can give that defense. We follow the example set in the New Testament, not only in action, but in attitude also. That it's the first day of the week. Let's get it out of the way on Saturday night. Let's get it out of the way on, let's do it Saturday afternoon. Then sooner's better, isn't it? On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, let's follow the example of the New Testament. They used unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. If they did it, that's good enough for me. That's the example Jesus gave. Now we've used, you know, Oreos are unleavened. What about Twinkies? Twinkies are pretty tasty. Unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And not just do it, but do it in reverence, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. And by doing it, we're not only, we are proclaiming. Every one of us that participated, we're proclaiming what we believe. And also we give an example of being obedient. Hopefully, if we're ever confronted with why, we have an answer better than company policy. We never like to end a worship together without offering an invitation to repent of sin, an invitation to be baptized, an invitation of if you require prayers or request prayers, if you're looking for a church home, whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing.